words. Rosie Mortimer, a pocket-sized Irish student, barely 5 feet tall, but with the voice and personality of someone 5 times that size, and a laugh that made the walls shake. An unstoppable force, a bit dramatic, perhaps. But that's what's called for in a drama group. Always willing to take things to the maximum level, once threw a mug of tea at a policeman. Suze Rillington. Big, doe-like eyes, legs for miles, and the confidence of 10 mediocre men. A brilliant mind for Shakespeare and masterful impressionist. The one who would take off all her clothes on the slightest provocation and run down the road laughing.
Go on, give her a reason.
Noel Butler. Tall and thin, all angles and nerves and cigarette smoke. He favored vintage 70s clothes, not fancy ones, but proper charity shop ones. Big glasses, wide-collared shirts, wide-gauge corduroy jackets, the best straight man a comedy group could have.
Peter Elmore,
the natural athlete who had no interest in rowing or chasing a ball. Lanky, with reddish-blonde hair that was always an inch longer than he wanted it, and heavy-lidded eyes.
Technically, he was a student of modern political theory.
In reality, he was a walking database of jokes and gags and the history of comedy. Perhaps the most determined of the group to break into the business. Most likely to burn down the kitchen trying to make toast.
Yash Varma, the other comedy nerd.
Obsessed since childhood with all things funny. Sat in front of the TV, transcribing shows by hand to study the patterns and learn how to write. The only person in the group who could possibly take on Peter in terms of comedy knowledge, which was why the two had decided to merge their brains and form a writing pair.
The most romantic of the group, with an easily broken heart.
Julian Reynolds. The beautiful one with the soulful eyes and the long lashes. The trouble. Tourists asked him to stand with them in pictures for no reason aside from the fact that he was a Cambridge student, or English, or simply there. Irritatingly gifted as a performer. The full package. Could act, could sing, could play the guitar. The one who never raised his voice, ever. He never had to. Everyone leaned forward to hear what he had to say. His little town up north couldn't contain him. Most of the 9 would grudgingly admit he was often the only reason people came to their shows. Angela Gill, the history student from Leeds, the quiet one, until she wasn't, cried with homesickness for the first 3 nights at Cambridge until she met Suze at a mixer. She wrote her sketches alone, often with a gin and tonic in a mug on her desk and a cigarette dangling from her lips. Detail-oriented, conscientious, and the only one who ever used the washing machine properly. Theodora Bailey, without question, the academic of the group. A medical student from Notting Hill in London, the one who planned on using her degree, the one who fixed you up after a long night, the director, the one who figured it all out. As a black woman at Cambridge, the one who had to deal with the looks, the muttered remarks, and the remarks said right to her face about the color of her skin. Usually locked hip to hip with Sebastian.
The 9, going off on a final adventure in 2 cars down a country road late on a June night. The trouble with Julian, Suze went on.
Oh, God. Yash put his hands over his face. Enough. We've talked about Julian nonstop for 3 years. Let's call a moratorium this week, all right?
How do we not talk about him when he's right there?
He's not here now, in this car.
I just want Rosie to know she did the right thing.
You know that, don't you, Rose? I did the same myself when he did it to me.
He's a cheat. He's rotten. One of us should have killed him a long time ago.
Rosie maintained her distracted silence, her brow furrowed in thought.
We're close, aren't we? Theo said.
Theo was the 5th passenger in the car, squeezed between Yash and Rosie. In the middle of everything, as usual. This attempt to redirect the conversation fooled no one, but it had an effect.
About 10 minutes away, darlings,
Sebastian replied.
Suze accepted that the topic had been adjourned and reached into a bag of cheese and onion crisps. She found that there was nothing but crumbs left and crushed the empty bag into the pocket of her tracksuit bottoms. Or someone.